I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we will talk about a new program that aims to connect young people with jobs and explore the ways that that might reduce violence in the city. My guests are Indianapolis Deputy Mayor David Hampton, Employee Indies Marie McIntosh, and Indy Parks Director Linda Broadfoot. Please join the conversation. You can call us at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Or you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or you may track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about a program in Indianapolis that aims to connect young people with summer jobs and how that effort might work to reduce violence. If you want to join this important conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Indianapolis Deputy Mayor David Hampton, Employee Indies Marie McIntosh, and Indy Parks Director Linda Broadfoot. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. So we probably ought to talk about what this program is first. We've whetted the appetite. We ought to let people eat now. Who wants to start? Everybody's pointing at David.
Everybody's pointing at me.
Okay.
Well, John, thanks for having us.
Certainly.
Project Indy was launched by Mayor Joe Hogsett in 2016, really as a way of providing meaningful employment for at-risk or underserved youth, primarily during the summer months. And ProjectIndy.net is the tool we use to connect our teens and employers or employers who are looking for seasonal and part-time employees. So we want to ensure that employers who hear us know that they can go to projectindy.net. But we're just very excited to meet the mandate. I think we, Linda and Marie and I, faced the challenge that the mayor set last year to hire 2,000 teens.
Mm-hmm.
And it was either fortunate or unfortunate we met that goal. So the mayor upped it to 3,000 mm-hmm. for this year. So, but we are poised to hire 3,000 teens this summer.
Who qualifies? I mean, for that, is there a means test? I mean, these are presumably are not suburban kids who already have comfortable lives and other opportunities. How do you determine that these are the kids we're trying to reach? Everyone's looking at someone else here, so I'm going to go.
There really are no set requirements other than an interest for a young teen or a young adult to want to work over the summertime. So the portal is open
to everyone. So anyone from 13 to 19 then? Or
15 to 24.
Oh, so we're defining teen very expansively. Okay.
We are. It's true, in part because there are a lot of young adults who find themselves disconnected in our community, and we're trying to help them have a chance to just start that first job and get a better work history going. But it is geared towards the majority of the young people who are signing up are 16, 15, 17 years old in high school. And the high schools that are having the most students signing up right now are Warren Township, mm-hmm. Pike, and I believe IPS, Arsenal Tech, is rounding out the top three high schools where young people are coming from. At the moment, we have 3478 as of this morning, young people who have signed up on the portal.
Okay.
And we're really excited about the interest that they are showing and the fact that a lot of employers as well have connected into this portal to access talent.
How many of them have been placed out of that? That's nearly 3,500.
Yes.
Which is more than your 3,000 if you can place them all, right? So you've got more kids available now than your goal, right?
Correct, yeah. But, I mean, we're trying to serve as a matchmaking portal essentially mm-hmm. for employers who are interested, like the Indy Parks, in mm. finding young people over the summertime. And so there are, at the moment, 2,000 jobs that are listed on our a website, but some of those are evergreen jobs. Mm-hmm. So there are, in fact, we think enough jobs for all young people. And we have teams of people working all the time with employers to try to connect them into the portal so that young people can see where the jobs are in our community.
And who are the employers who are coming to this site by and large?
You know, they are employers who are offering that first job. I don't know what your first job was. My first job was working. My first paid job at an employer mm-hmm. where I got a W-2 at the end of the year was at Krispy Kreme Donuts back in the day. And mm-hmm. so we have, I'm sure we could have fun sharing what our first jobs were, but we have the Children's Museum, Indy Parks, the Sheraton, Coca-Cola Bottling Company, the FedEx Express, the Indianapolis Airport Authority, a wide variety. McDonald's has been a big supporter, Starbucks, a wide variety of employers trying to offer young people that first job.
So actually, my first job was lifeguarding. At
yes. You and Mayor Joe Hawks.
Yeah, so.
What are you doing this summer?
Well, I'm sorry. I don't look good in a Speedo anymore. So, which raises the question of, Linda, what are you looking for young people to do?
Absolutely. So we generally hire roughly 400 young people every summer to mm-hmm. serve in a variety of roles, you know, most importantly or perhaps most, you know, most well-known being lifeguards. So we look for young people to come to us who, you know, have some swimming ability and some leadership skills, that sort of thing. But we also hire food inspectors for our summer food program. We hire cashiers for all those concession stands that you see around the system. We are day camp counselors who help keep young kids engaged at day camp all throughout the summer. For us, you know, I think the benefits are sort of in two directions. A, we think we're offering really great experiences. I mean, I would say you probably gleaned a lot from your years as a lifeguard. We offer really great experiences that people take forward into their careers. But additionally, these young people are critical to us delivering on our mission out in parks, right? For us to have safe places for families to swim, for us to offer safe day camps, to offer quality services, these young people are critical to that as well. So the public benefits by young people taking these jobs, but then ultimately the young people are getting a great first really good work experience that they'll take forward for the rest of their career.
How do you track that number? Like you said, the goal was 2,000 last year, and it's 3,000 this year. How do you track that you've hit goal? I mean, what's the metric you use there?
So Employee Indy, our role in the community is to connect people to jobs and employers to diverse talent pipelines in our community. And we have a team of people who have worked closely with the ProjectIndy.net portal designers Work Here to design a system where employers can report to us that they've successfully had a candidate placed from the Project Indy portal. Or we can also reach out to those employers and do that actively to ensure that we've met the goal at hand. It's really easy to call Linda and understand, for instance, how many young people were employed through Indy Parks and the Project Indy system over the summertime. So
there's nothing automatic within the site, though. You have to do an affirmative step afterwards to try to figure it out.
It's a bit of a ground game on both. We are working to have a site that has employers who can just share that they've placed someone so that it is more electronic. At the moment, it's a little bit of both. We've got that ready to roll out and also have the ground game where we'll just call employers and have that relationship with employers to understand how many young people have been hired.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about a program here in Indianapolis that connects young people with summer jobs and hopefully reduces violence in the city. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So let's talk about really how this program came about, what the impulse was behind its creation, because it wasn't purely, you know, altruistic. We've got to help these young, not that I'm disparaging that, but that there was a goal behind, you know, a specific goal behind doing this. David, I'll start with you.
Sure. So this was really an initiative that Mayor Hogsett was passionate about even during the campaign. So even pre-election, this was one of the foundational, you know, campaign points. And of course, you know, Mayor Hogsett, being a former U.S. prosecutor, really stressed crime prevention. And so this was one of the points around getting at the root causes of crime, poverty, food insecurity, unemployment. And when it comes to young people, he wanted to ensure that one way in which we address violent crime among young people is, well, hey, we can't incarcerate our way out of the problem. So let's try to deal with one of the root causes, which is unemployment. And so if we can get dollars in their pockets over the summer, even if we save one or two teens from perhaps selling drugs to get money during that summer month, then we accomplished our goal. And so that's really the origin of the initiative.
And in terms of tracking how well or how effective that has been, what evidence has accumulated?
Marie, you're
making eye contact, so I'll pick on you.
No, I mean it's an in process thing, right? It's longitudinal the way we're going to have to do this work, and so we are collecting information, basic demographic information, when young people apply on the portal through the portal, and our intentionality is to track over the years, you know, what happens with those young people and whether or not the jobs that they've had in the summertime have helped them. There is, though, a great body of evidence that shows that these types of programs are successful. In 2000, the employment rate nationwide for youth 16 to 19 was 45%. In 2015, it had dropped to 26%. And the reality is that young people who don't have access to jobs when they're 16, 17 years old, every year that they lose the opportunity to, you know, make a little bit of extra money, you know, their salary, they don't have a chance to grow in their careers or understand what they may like or not like about careers. And there's evidence to show, too, that salaries are 14 to 16% higher year over year when young people start working at 16. So there's a lot of evidence back to the poverty issue that can connect into crime and sort of just the complications of poverty, that if we can help young people connect into good opportunities when they're younger, that will put them on a more positive trajectory for the long term.
I know you're collecting information on which schools they come from. What other information do you have about these young people?
We have some demographic information. For instance, at the moment, around 70% of those who have applied are African American.
Okay.
We have information on which schools they're at and, you know, some contact information as well for these young people, so we can push out additional programming and opportunities to them via text message and the like as they're going through programs.
Do you ask other information such as, you know, what income levels are for the homes or anything like that, or does the zip code and to some degree the school
help determine that? I mean, we only have a few. You can only capture someone's attention for so long, so it's a delicate balance how many questions we ask on the front end, and we've chosen to try to make it really simple for young people to get on our portal, because the beautiful thing about this portal as well that I would be remiss not to mention is it's geographically designed to sort of geolocate where a young person mm-hmm. is and where the jobs are that are right around them. So they mm-hmm. don't have to just randomly try to apply. They can understand how close the parks, mm-hmm. The local park is, and that they need people, or how close the zoo is to them, or wherever it may be, the local McDonald's, to get connected to a job.
Okay. Linda, do you know where the bulk of your employees are coming from, your seasonal employees?
Yeah, so I'd say it's pretty reflective of what Maria said, though it mm-hmm. varies certainly by park and neighborhood. So, you know, ideally we're pulling young people from the neighborhood, you know, around a park so that it's convenient for them to get there. And I'd say at least anecdotally that is a lot of times the case.
So that area, but do we know, like, are the bulk of them 16, 17-year-olds or, you know, and are there needs, I guess I should say, are there certain skill sets or places where there are still gaps and you need either more students or more jobs? I'll throw that one back to Marie.
Yes, so we're able to look at where young people are interested in applying, what their top employers are, and we're also able to see how many age demographic is included as well. So again, we're highest on 15, 16, 17 year olds at the moment. There's hundreds of students who have applied in that age range, and then it starts to drop off as they get a little older. To your question about mm-hmm. like additional gaps, We don't do as much of that at this point. We leave that up to the employer. So the student and the employer connect, and then we're circling back with both of them to try to understand what other opportunities we might be able to do to try to connect.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about a program here in Indianapolis that aims to connect young people with summer jobs and how that might reduce violence here in the city. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Indianapolis Deputy Mayor David Hampton, Employee Indies Marie McIntosh, and Indy Parks Director Linda Broadfoot. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please, stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about a program in Indianapolis that connects young people with summer jobs and how that effort works to reduce violence. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Indianapolis Deputy Mayor David Hampton, Employee Indies Marie McIntosh, and Indy Parks Director Linda Broadfoot. So we've talked about this. We probably ought to walk people through, if they're listening. Most likely it's not going to be a student or prospective employee who is listening at this point, because those people are supposed to be in school. But exactly how it works, where they should go, what kinds of information they should have available, and all of that. Marie, would you mind getting us started?
Sure. So they should go to projectindy.net, and it's a very simple platform where there's a button for signing up if you're a youth, or to sign up if you're an employer who's interested. And you click on that button, and then it will take you through a few questions, the demographic questions that we've already talked about, name, age, school that you go to, just basic information, and it will direct you to connect to download the app, or to just continue on in the website to see what employers exist around your neighborhood. And from there, students can really just connect to different employers. I mean, it's a fun map that just shows, you know, if we were to pull it up here in the downtown area, it would show different places around downtown. The Sheraton would be present, McDonald's, the zoo, that have openings. And then the students click on that. If they're on an iPad or an iPhone or any sort of phone, they click on that button and can connect to the employer jobs that are available. And so, like in Linda's case, it would be, you know, lifeguard or a counselor position. And then they can learn how to apply for those jobs from there and connect to that employer specifically.
So and on the employer side, what sorts of information do you ask for? And I'm sure this is a question I'll say as a parent myself. I'd want to, what steps are taken to make sure that this is a legitimate employer, someone we're not clicking, you know, my child wouldn't be clicking through to, you know, a child porn site or something like that.
Sure. So we also have a team of people at Employee Indy and our partner who developed this app for us called Work Here, who are working with employers if they have questions about getting their application up on Project Indy site. But it's the same starting point where employers can just do most of this themselves. And then on the back end, we have a vetting process or a way to help employers who are having trouble figuring out how to post a job description or those sorts of issues.
Okay. Linda, what are the wage ranges? The jobs that are available through the Parks Department.
So Indy Parks summer jobs pay anywhere from $8 to $15 an hour, which we think is a pretty good sort of starting rate for a young person who's just kind of kicking off their job experience.
And the $8 an hour jobs are what sort of jobs, and the 15 dollar-an-hour jobs or what sort of jobs?
Sure. You know, some of that's based on years with us, right? So lifeguards who come back year after year and eventually become head lifeguard, pool manager, et cetera, those ranges go up closer to the $15 potentially. Starting out as a day camp counselor or cashier may be closer to that $8 to $9 range.
Okay. And are they 40 hours a week? Or?
They absolutely can be, yes.
Okay. And what's the least number of hours that someone can work?
There, because of the nature of the work we do, we're very flexible, but we would love to have people up to 40 hours.
Okay. 40 hours. And is that a typical wage range, Marie?
It is, yeah. So we find that many employers these days are paying for entry-level work, maybe just a little bit above minimum wage in some instances, because there is a shortage at the moment of talent, and they're eager to try to get young people in and hopefully keep them on. We mm-hmm. bill this as a summer program, and it is a summer program, especially for the parks and other seasonal employers. However, we're interested where we can for, and I know employers want to keep students who are wanting to work part-time during the school year, they'll keep them on. Starbucks, McDonald's, some of those partners are quite happy to have them go year-round. And so then there's opportunities for wage increases from there.
And how difficult has the fact that many of the school systems now are on these balanced, yeah, Linda's smiling, the balanced, and it's not a happy smile, actually, the balanced school calendars where, you know, it used to be traditionally you had 3 months in the summer if you were a student that you were off and you could work. That's not the case anymore. Many students have these staggered school years and all of that, so there isn't a straight 3 month period in which they're available.
Right. So it's a short summer. And for young people, I think that does pose some complications if they have competing interests, right? If they have a sports camp or a big family vacation, that sort of thing, it can be challenging for them to figure out how to sort of manage the different interests. But we do sort of open on a rolling basis as well. So depending on, you know, which sort of parts of town schools are closing for the summer, we will open pools sort of accordingly and then close at the end of the summer as well accordingly. So we've certainly learned, like so many other employers, we've learned to adapt to that, to the balanced calendar. And to Marie's point, you know, even we keep a lot of people on year round as well. So, you know, a truly outstanding lifeguard could remain a lifeguard at an indoor pool or could work their way up in the park system. Even on our sort of full-time professional staff at Indy Parks, you know, you look around the room and ask how many people started out as a seasonal, you know, way back when they were younger, and well over half the room will raise their hands that they got their start at a pool or at a day camp, that sort of thing. So the opportunities certainly exist beyond the 8 weeks or whatever summer ends up being.
We are talking about a program that connects young people in Indianapolis with summer jobs and how that might reduce violence in the city. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what a listener named Daniel has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Daniel, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was just going to say, as far as, you know, this program sounds like a great program. Myself, I started working now when I was 15 at a country club as greenkeeper. Mm-hmm. And, as far as trying to, I was a athlete as well, so I would even go there and change the pin locations after football games, that kind of stuff. And it was stressful, but at the same time, it built a necessity to work for me later. It gave me a lot of these skills that I could use to other jobs. It wasn't that I took that to other golf courses, it was that I took what I learned and used it at other jobs, whether it be the work ethic or the ambition that I needed, something of that sort. And what I really noticed was that, you know, I just turned 30 last February. I didn't really see a lot of the work pay off until now, where all of a sudden delivery jobs that I had or manager jobs that I had in different locations, I knew the areas well enough that I could use that for the job that I have now. And I'm actually doing very well at this job because of it. So we never know really where our jobs are going to take us, or we never know what we're going to learn from. But the whole point, you know, in my mind is that you should at least learn something, even if it's a bad job, because even bad jobs could teach you later.
Thanks very much for the call and for sharing your story, Daniel.
Of course.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Certainly. Thank you. Well, David, that raises the question, you know, the city's obviously invested resources in this. I mean, and the immediate goal is obviously to create a job and wages. What are sort of the long-term objectives for this program, this investment? What do you hope we get out of it?
One of the things we're excited about is a new component that we've added called Job Ready Indy, which allows teens to earn badges for their Project Indy profiles. And what badges are basically skills development and job readiness areas that they've fulfilled within the Job Ready training. So, you know, we see this as helping to jumpstart their, build their career as they move forward. And, you know, where did they get it? They got it at Project Indy. And so we not only want to provide jobs, but we want to provide job readiness training. And that can be as simple as teaching them some soft skills to word processing, just, you know, how to be on time, some things that we perhaps take for granted. But for, you know, a young teen who is working for the first time, these are some very important skills to learn, and they can take them with them as they go forward. So Daniel made a very good point.
Well, and his point also was about time management and all of that. You know, we've started at 2,000. We've looked at moving the number to 3,000. Is there, do you see a ceiling to this, or is there, everybody's looking and laughing here, so I'll wait for the chuckles to pass and then ask the question. I'll stay with you on that one, David.
Well, if we hire 3,000 this year, I'm sure the mayor is going to say we want to do 4,000 the next year. You know, and to be honest with you, while we are happy to boast 2,000 and 3,000, that's really a drop in the bucket. You know, and we understand that we can't hire every teen in the city. But if we could, we would. So we're gonna do what we can as we can with the resources. And I would like to add, you know, for citizens to know that Project Indy comes at no additional cost to taxpayers. We're funded fully through federal grants, corporate donations, and community organizations. So we're very happy to be able to say that to taxpayers.
Well, what is the budget for Project Indy? Is there? Go ahead, Marie.
So, well, I mean, there to Dr.
Because
Hampton's
in some way
point,
it's a conduit, right?
Correct. So, to Dr. Hampton's point, we leveraged some federal funds that we had available to build the Project Indy portal and at Employee Indy. That was through Employee Indy.
Admittedly, though, federal funds are still tax dollars.
True that, just not the local city dollars.
Yeah.
So you're right. The federal funds were leveraged, but then also a lot of corporate donations have been put into place. So I would say our budget is fluid, and that we lean into the competencies of the organizations that you see here today and other organizations to partner and leverage existing resources to deliver on this program.
So in terms of the project started in 2016, right? Have you tracked, and you know, do you have a system to track where alumni have gone and what they are doing? And what metrics do you use to determine, you know, whether that was successful? Is it, you know, going to college or continuing, or is it something as simple as, you know, there are no arrest reports and no one's gone to jail? I'll start with Marie on that, but I see David shaking his head as well.
You know, I mean, some of the students who access this portal, we have limited information on, and so they're harder to track. Other students who access this portal are involved in other programs that our community offers, for instance, the Jobs for America's Graduates Program. And all of those students, we are able to track and see what happens to them as they move out of high school and on to post-secondary or a career. So we do have data on a subset of the students, but not necessarily all of them. And frankly, to Dr. Hampton's point earlier, that's intentional. You know, we would love for this Project Indy.net portal to continue to grow and have loads of young people and employers making matches through our system that where we believe we've made it easier for people to connect to each other and find each other for work. So, you know, we are tracking basic information, and that is important for some of the grants and different things that we've used to fund portions of this. But on the whole, the goal is to you know, just create that connectivity and the influence and raise awareness to really the entire community that it's youth employment, summer youth employment is really important for the continued growth, not only of the individuals and the employers, but also our community as a whole. It's like a triple win.
David, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that as we, you know, as we track, we are hearing some wonderful testimonies. I think we've had a couple of events, you know, especially over last summer and fall. And I can't recall the young lady's name, but when we were at the YMCA, just some wonderful testimonies of individuals who had jobs at Project Indy. They've gone on to graduate, gone on to college, and are doing just wonderfully. And even at the mayor's celebration of diversity, we had a whole, you know, a line of teens who had applied, who had worked and had great experiences and are just success stories in and of themselves. So that's always good to see.
We are talking about a new program here in Indy, that not a new program, it's a two-year-old program now here in Indianapolis, that connects young people with summer jobs and how that effort works to reduce violence. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what a listener named Dave has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Dave, you're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies. Thank you very much for allowing me on the show.
Certainly.
Want to make a quick comment and have a couple questions. My comment is, a long time ago, we certainly had a program similar to this when I was growing up as well here in Indianapolis, in which we worked in summertime. We had a lot of fun. We did things at the Wheelers Boys Club when it first opened. A number of different things that happened. It did not guarantee successes, but I will say this one thing, and I hope that everyone on the panel hears this. We can point out all the numbers. We can point to all the success stories. We can point to the millions of things that go into making kids into better kids, because all kids are good. We just want them to be better. But the thing, the ingredient that I think is missed on many occasions, because we have built a society on numbers, is the actual honest caring that goes into what a child responds to. We can give him a job all day long, but if the employer who has him doesn't care that he came in late one time because his mother didn't wake him up because they don't have an alarm clock, and guess what? Suddenly he thinks nobody cares and he doesn't care about it himself. So I hope that we add that ingredient back into it, and that we hire people or have employers who will express clearly that they care about these children.
Thanks very much for that point, David.
Well, I have a question, a couple
of real quick
questions. Real quick, I will make it quick. Taxes for the kids and the money that they're making, is there any abatement to those taxes? I'll take the answer offline for that particular piece, so that they get to keep them a major portion of the money that they get do make, because it's not that much, but it is certainly enough. And then secondly, are we including any courses, classes, information on how they should handle this money? Thanks, and
thanks very
I'll take answers offline.
Certainly. Thanks very much for the call, Dave. So, Linda, do you want to weigh in?
Or, I think I'm going to. I'll just quickly say that the Indy Chamber has been a big partner of ours in putting together the Job Ready Indy curriculum that we talked about a minute ago. And there is a financial literacy component to that curriculum, along with, you know, a lot of other employability skills to help young people be able to manage the money and just themselves when they're on the job. The Indy Chamber is also incredibly committed, as is Employee Indy and the mayor's office, to making sure that the employers with whom we work are engaging with our young people. And so they play a role in coming in for mock interviews and doing lots of different things to help our young people prepare. We do need employers who are willing to step in and engage with the young people in new ways today in our society. So it's a great point that was made.
And I think after the break, we'll take up the other question he had, really, about the heart and the sense of caring about young people. We're talking right now about a program in Indianapolis that connects young people with summer jobs in the hope that that will work to reduce violence. My guests are Indianapolis Deputy Mayor David Hampton, Employee Indy's Marie McIntosh, and Andy Parks director Linda Broadfoot. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about a program in Indianapolis that connects young people with summer jobs and the hopes that, among other things, it will work to reduce violence. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Indianapolis Deputy Mayor David Hampton, Employee Indies Marie McIntosh, and Indy Parks Director Linda Broadfoot. So before the break, we got a call from a listener named Dave, who, among other things, made the point that we need to remember that young people are, in fact, young people, that they don't simply exist as employees, that there is a context to their lives, circumstances that they come from, and that we need to remember that. David, do you want to speak to that first? And then I see Linda leaning in a little bit, too.
I'll just make a brief comment, to Dave's point. We do have some very caring employers, and some of the things that we want to keep in mind is that our employers, by virtue of hiring teens, expose their industries. They also inspire career paths and really have a heart to develop. And we just understand that employers who sign up do so because they want to. They're very intentional, and they tell us, we're so grateful that you have a program that reaches out to young people, and we're grateful to have them as partners as well. But we do have that caring touch. But at the same time, to Dave's point, we also want to develop teens who understand the workforce to prepare them for the real world. No, they don't get an abatement for taxes. I wish we all did. Mm-hmm. But you work, you have to pay taxes, and that's just a reality of the world we live in.
Mm-hmm. Linda.
John, I'm incapable of having a microphone and not gushing about the Indy Parks team. Mm-hmm. So, when you think about folks caring for young people who might be working with them, I think about parks professionals in particular, but I'm sure all the employers who've signed up, these are folks who have a heart for this work, who have a heart for mentoring, who have a heart for helping young people succeed. So I know for a fact that at least in my organization, that's something that's at the heart of what they're doing out in the field.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Chris, and if you want to join this conversation by email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Chris writes, "My summer job at Dairy Queen, while really fun, also affirmed my decision to attend college. I knew I wanted more than the life of the adults who work there as a career option. It also gave me great respect for those in service positions. So many good things happen when you work as a teen." Probably ought to talk a little bit about some of these, sort of additional effects or benefits, because Chris makes a really good point here. Those of us who did service jobs when we were younger, among other things, learned to treat people who are in the service industry with respect and courtesy, and I might add, also to tip generously, because that's how they make their money. Marie, you're leaning in.
Well, I mean, I think it's a great point that that he understands not only the role that job had in his life in helping him determine his next steps, but also respect for the people who are in that role. A lot of times at Employee Indy, we talk about the importance of the ABC continuum of careers. And this isn't just for young people, it's for adults as well, that sometimes you need a job, but then you can move to a better job and ultimately a career. Mayor Hogsett says it a lot as well. And the reality is that, the best thing about a summer job for young people might be that they figure out, man, this is not something I want to do all the time, but they're grateful for the, lessons they learned while they were doing it.
Yeah, a listener named Kendall makes a similar point to that on Facebook. And again, our Facebook address is NoLimitsWFYI. Kendall writes, when I was in high school 30 years ago, my dad was a developer. He would hire my friend and me to build houses during the summer. He would always tell me that he wanted me to have that reference point for manual labor come the day I no longer wanted to stay in college. Trust me, it worked. He writes, again, we're talking about a program here in Indianapolis that connects young people with summer jobs and attempts to reduce violence in the city. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what Ashley has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Ashley, you're on the air.
Hi there. I was just calling. I'm currently a student at the Lilly School of Philanthropy at IUPUI, and I'm studying youth programming and just the benefits of specifically Indianapolis's philanthropic engagement. And I am so passionate about inner city work and specifically summer programs that employ teens. And so I've worked with Keep Indianapolis Beautiful and with TeenWorks actually this summer. And I just wanted to kind of take a moment to praise what Indianapolis is doing and just career readiness and basically any prevention and understanding of how to engage philanthropically at this age and then going forward. And so I just wanted to say I love what you're covering, and I'm enjoying listening right now.
Thanks very much for the call, Ashley. We really appreciate it. So I'm going to ask this, Marie, are there other cities that do things like this? And, you know, or did we take this idea from someplace else, or is this something that is unusual?
So, you know, Mayor Hogsett, what Dr. Hampton explained about Mayor Hogsett's desire for this type of program to exist is truth. And at the same time, there are absolutely other cities who do similar kinds of work. So Chicago, Boston, a lot of big cities have summer youth employment programs. What I think is unique about Indianapolis's program is what Ashley was just referring to, the number of partners who have come together to really try to offer young people the broadest opportunities toward getting employment in that first job. I think the Project Indy.net approach, a singular application, is really fun and unique amongst all of the summer programs that I'm aware of around the country.
Are there any places that seem to do it as effectively or more effectively than we do?
Nobody does it better than Indy.
Right. There you go, Dr. Hampton.
All right. Boosterism aside, I gave you that one. But are there places where, you know, cities, because Indianapolis is not the only city that sees a connection between, you know, in some ways, idle youth and crime, and particularly violent crime problems. Are there places that have attacked that connection as successfully or more successfully than we have, and what could we learn from them? Marie,
you know, I do want to acknowledge Dr. Hampton's point that I too believe Indianapolis is doing something amazing here with our partners around the community. Having said that, you know, Boston, Chicago, L.A. have a lot more young people engaged. If nothing else, without me, I can't tell you the details of all of those programs, but they're serving more than 3,000 students a year. They've been able to scale it in a way that is sustainable and something, I think, for our community to strive toward. So they have tens of thousands of young people going through summer programming, summer youth employment programming.
Okay, and that's proportional, you know, because obviously Chicago is a much larger community than ours.
And if I could just add to Marie's point, you know, the awarding of the federal grant for us was a huge win, because Indianapolis was chosen out of 16 other cities. And so some of those larger cities that are mentioned, L.A., Boston, Chicago, D.C., Indianapolis is right there in terms of its programming. But, you know, I do think, of course, proportionally, others are doing more numbers than we are. I think from a quality perspective, we're right in line with everybody else in terms of the quality we're offering.
We are talking about a program that connects young people with summer jobs in hopes that will, among other things, reduce violence in the city. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what Gay has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Gay, welcome to the program.
Hi. This is an interesting topic because I'm going to guess it was about 50 years ago. The Voca Foundation, which is out of the West someplace, because at that time Indianapolis had one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country, came in with a program to see what it took to get hardcore unemployed into jobs and what kind of assistance they had and so forth. So after doing quite a bit of thorough survey in a particular census tract, they selected a number of people, and then I was one of the people that worked with individuals, and we would help them get a job. But then we called every night. Cleo Blackburn, I don't know if any of you would know him or remember him from Planner House, but he worked with us too and said so much of the problems with employment are cultural issues on timeliness and what it means to be timely and why that some cultures, you know, that if you get the job done, who cares when you come or when you leave, rather than that timeliness. The other one was the ability of these individuals to deal with certain conflict resolution issues within their job, that if they got upset with the manager, they might just quit because they didn't know what else to do. And so we actually called them every single night for 3 weeks, and we started a new person at each week, mm-hmm. and called them and say, how did it go? How do you like the people you're working with? Did you have any issues and so forth? And, well, how could you best how do you think you can best handle that? Because a lot of times you could get and then, well, you know, how would that look and how do you see that it's working for you or not working and so forth? But I think it really helped these people dealing with some of the individual issues that they had in an employment situation.
Gay, but thanks
anyway,
very much.
I was just wondering if that was something that you were trying to do too.
Yeah, we will. I'll see if I can get an answer for you. Thank you very much for calling in and for sharing that story and that information.
Thank you.
So, Marie, you're leaning forward here. Probably Gay, I'm going to condense this just a little bit and say, you know, part of what Gay is talking about is these problems have been persistent too, mm-hmm. that. And that it's going to require, in many cases, a lot of intervention to turn things around. Beyond setting up the portal, what are we doing?
So Dr. Hampton referred to the federal grant that we received, and Employandy receives other grants from philanthropic institutions. Ashley kind of hit a little bit ago on mm-hmm. TeenWorks, and mm-hmm. Gay mentioned the Flanner House. There are a number of fantastic community-based organizations in Indianapolis who are working with young people already and who we helped to fund to continue that work in a really meaningful fashion. McCoy and the work that they do, the Marion County Commission on Youth, mm. in helping with summer youth employment, our Job Ready Indie program that we talked about. There are currently 38 unique service providers out there who have said, yes, we will train on this curriculum that helps with conflict resolution and some of those issues that Gay just mentioned, mm-hmm. to help young people have more tools in their toolbox to be successful and to provide that wraparound support that some young people and really adults need to in our community and some of the neighborhoods where crime and poverty are the most prevalent, to help them, you know, get a leg up and have a chance at a better opportunity or career. So there's a lot of supports out there. It is a persistent problem because poverty is complex.
Well, and part of what I wanted to know, what are some of the obstacles to finding these young people jobs when we've done shows before on employment, not specifically youth employment, but employment, we hear a lot of it is, well, yeah, the job may be available, but if it's 12 miles away and I don't have a car or, you know, the buses don't run there, you know, yeah, I'd love to do that job and I'm sure they'd love to have me, but I have no way to get there. You know, so transportation is one of the issues that's often mentioned. What are the others, David?
You know, there are always some practical realities we have to face. And the thing that comes to mind, and I hate to sound too too academic, but, you know, within the school system, teachers are learning trauma-informed care. You know, there's much more to learning in a classroom than just coming and sitting down and beginning to study. We have to understand the environments out of which some of our teens come, dealing with abusive situations, hunger. You know, 1 in 3 children in our city go to bed hungry at night. So between transportation, hunger, just a struggle to get out of the house. Those are some things that we hope that our employers understand up front and are willing to take a chance on a young person. You know, they're gonna stumble and fall, but what we hope to do is strengthen and build their and develop them for the future.
Linda, with your employees, what are the areas in which they need the most support, intervention, or help, would you say?
So I think, you know, and I'm guessing a lot of folks deal with the same challenges, but young people coming, I think, job ready, whatever that means for the particular job, right? So folks applying to be lifeguards who know how to swim and are competent swimmers. I think, you know, coming with a sense of grit. We talk a lot about grit and you know, young people sort of having that sort of ability to, you know, kind of push through and determination. But in a lot of cases, it is a little bit of a chicken and an egg thing, too. You know, swimming skills aside, I mean, that's sort of a no-brainer.
Yeah, especially since you're a lifeguard, you're told actually to go into the water.
But, you know, so many of these things you get as a result of having that, for, you know, with that earlier caller sort of reference, you get a lot of these skill sets or these sort of traits by the job experiences as well. But I think, you know, what adults in our community can do more than anything is to sort of mentor formally or informally some of these young people, help connect them to these opportunities, help prepare them for what getting one of these opportunities means, what it takes to get one of these opportunities. And our teams have been pounding the pavement to do the same thing as well. So we don't just shout this, you know, website from the rooftops, but we've been out in schools, we've been out in churches, we've been out in neighborhoods, meeting these young people or their families face to face to tell them about the opportunities and to hopefully just put a face and sort of a personal connection on what's going on in our community.
Marie, we're getting close on time here, so I think probably we ought to walk through the process one last time if there are parents, probably not young people listening right now because they should be in school, although I guess if they're above 18, that's not an issue. But how they go about connecting with these jobs, how they use the site, the portal.
Yes, so it's projectindy.net, and you click on the button that says for youth or for employers, depending on, we're happy for employers listening to sign up for the Project Indy piece as well. But for the young people, then they just have to answer a few basic questions about their age and the school that they go to and give us an email address or a phone number. And then they can then connect into all of the employment opportunities that are right around where they live so that hopefully we can address at least one of the barriers mentioned, which is the transportation barrier. Yeah.
And it is for young people age 15 to 24?
That's right.
Correct. Okay. Well, I'd like that's a good last word. We leave people with an action plan here. I'd like to thank my guest, Indianapolis Deputy Mayor David Hampton, Employ Indy's Marie McIntosh, and Indy Parks Director Linda Broadfoot. Also like to thank our listeners for some great questions and comments, as well as their stories, and invite everybody back on Tuesday when we're going to be talking with former Indianapolis Mayor and former U.S. Senator Richard Lugar in anticipation of the new documentary about his life. I'm John Kroll. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator Scott McAllister. Technical producers Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.